When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, folks, another edition here of Kranz's Corner. One of my favorite guys to talk to, one of the OGs here on Kranz's Corner. Gabby Rudy is going to join us here for a couple minutes from 247 Sports, 24/7 Sports. We talk about that every single time. Also, I always make him smile when that happens. Gabby, first off, happy holidays to you and the family. And if anyone follows Gabby on social media, his Twitter feed right now, social media feed, it's almost like the old, where the old people say, oh, it was on the wire. We caught it on the wire. Well, his Twitter feed is the wire right now because I'm looking at all this stuff and I had to have him on because I can't look at his Twitter feed right now for a couple minutes. Gabby, welcome back to the corner, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Zach. Yeah, transfer portal season is nonstop. It's quite something, and it's only getting crazier and crazier by the, I want to say by the year, but it's basically by the every 6 months when these windows open. Yeah, this is as wild as it's been. So a lot to talk about.
It's unbelievable. It's like the biggest free agency pull of all time in college football. It's happening right now. As is. All right. So before we get to all that, give me your quick 60-90 second hot take. Magical season. We talked about it all year for the Miami Hurricanes. Obviously, they lost the last two of the three. Do not get into the ACC championship. Do not get into the playoff. And now getting set for the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Not exactly the ending we all thought, but your hot take on the end of the season there. God, it stinks. But go ahead.
Yeah, just feels like it was deflating, right? Like it was totally deflating. You know, we were definitely riding this high. You know, best quarterback in the history of the program, number one offense in the country. Up 21-0, you know, in that final game. Again, it looks like I'm nearly about to actually, you know, purchase my ticket for Charlotte and book the hotel, like literally in the second quarter. And, you know, deflating is, I think, maybe an understatement. It was honestly quite gut-wrenching. You know, it was just the way it ended with everything kind of right in front of you. You controlled your own destiny. You know, watching the ACC championship game, it felt like Miami would have probably won that one too. You know, with a chance to win the conference and get an automatic bye. So, like, it kind of went from everything totally in front of you to just absolutely nothing. Like, just ultimate rug pulled out from under you kind of moment that Syracuse game was. So, yeah, I mean, totally defeating. You know, unfortunate if this is and you kind of get the sentiment when talking around people, too. It definitely does not feel like this was a 10-win season. A 10-win season should feel a certain way. And it certainly does not, you know, it feels more like almost like a 7-6 or 6-6 type of feeling as far as like what you accomplished, right? Like still some meaningful games and, you know, there's still a lot to be proud of, but I think it's still a little too fresh to, To acknowledge, you can acknowledge everything went well, and there's a lot of
Right.
positives in the program. Certainly took a step forward. There's no doubt as far as just going from 5 wins to 7 wins to 10 wins with a chance to win 11 for the first time since 2003. But yeah, gut-wrenching end to that 2024 season.
Yeah, and you're right about a lot. There's lots of positives that happened this season. That's plenty fine. But when you get as far as they got, as close as they got
Yeah.
to the perfect end to this magical season for them, with the chance to be in the tournament for the national championship, the whole deal, buy everything, it stinks. And now Pop-Tarts Bowl. You know, out of all
Right.
that, Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Right.
So that's a little stinky. All right, so that's fine. We're done with that now. We'll shut the door on that at this point. There's a bunch to talk to here about the portal. What Miami's going to do. Obviously, Cam Ward not going to be on this team next year. Number one priority is filling in that spot up to get another quarterback somehow, some way, whether it's on this roster now or to get someone in the portal. I see the name, and if I butcher it, tell me. John Mateer from Washington State. Tell me about him, because I know now it looks like the Canes are in the mix for him, whether they're top two, top three, whatever it is at this point. It's that close, so this kid might come here. What are we getting if the Hurricanes do get a kid like John Mateer?
Yeah, he's a total stud. He's the number one overall player in the transfer portal this cycle. He was probably the best dual threat quarterback in the country last year. Again, he was a productive passer. I think he threw for a little over 3,000 yards in the season, 29 touchdowns. He also ran for like 826 or something and 15 touchdowns. So true dual threat that kind of comes from an air raid background. That Washington State system, a guy that is very familiar with Cam Ward, spent 2 seasons under Cam Ward as his backup. The two are really friendly. They're really close. So I, again, that Washington State offensive coordinator, he took the Oklahoma job, this offseason. So a lot of buzz around the Sooners. And look, I think the Sooners should be considered the favorites right now.
Right.
But I think when he initially entered, it was like, yeah, this is kind of a done deal to Oklahoma. But, over the course of the day here on Tuesday, there's starting to be more Miami buzz. This was always Miami's top arm. This was the guy they identified as far as like the guy they're going to go all in on. So the fact that Miami's potentially even opening up this door to a possibility of it not just being a layup for Oklahoma, I think it's a big deal because the Hurricanes are going to press. And if we know them, the way that they move when they identify a guy that they need to have, there's not much that's going to stop them from pursuing and potentially acquiring that talent. So John Mateer is, the top priority, the single top priority for Miami in this transfer portal cycle. And then again, they haven't really kicked tires on any of these other transfer quarterbacks, right? Like, they had options. There's definitely options that have emerged. They've
Right.
kind of just let them all kind of go by, and they've been waiting on this one. So, however this situation plays out is going to tell us a lot about the future of Miami as far as just this 2025 season. And he's a guy that has 2 years of eligibility, so this could
Right.
potentially be a 2 year situation where Miami has a 2 year starter, which would be huge, to kind of go into a season with an established starter. That helps with the transfer portal, it helps with recruiting, all that stuff. So, this is a big situation to kind of track, probably the biggest of the offseason for Miami.
Absolutely. Filling that spot, that void that's going to be left by Cam Ward, who had a magical, magical season for this Hurricanes team. Just to stay on this just for 1 second before we move forward, what happens if Mateer doesn't come here? What is there a plan B? Is plan B already on campus? Like, because obviously I know Reese just left. He transferred somewhere else. I know he was the guy who came here before Cam Ward.
Right.
So he's not on campus anymore. Emery's still there. I get that. Is Emery the kind of shoe-in to be that guy, or is there another guy in the portal maybe that comes in?
Yeah, my read on it right now is that I don't want to say Mateer or bust because
Right.
I think that there's obviously some other names that are still in there. And we're still, there's still guys who are not committed and all that stuff. But my feel on it is that if it's not John Mateer, I think you're going to see that situation through. I don't see Miami tapping out of that one. So if it's not John Mateer, like I think that they've been selling Emery Williams on a lot of the guys that have been visiting. So I think that as far as just like even if they don't get John Mateer, like there's still a lot of people in the building that
Right.
feel confident in what they have in Emery Williams. They've liked him since they first got him. Showed flashes as a true freshman. Played well in his one outing as a redshirt freshman. So again, I think he's a guy that understands Shannon Dawson's offense. So my sense on this situation is if it's not John Mateer, I think Emery Williams is probably the most likely at this point to be Miami's quarterback in 2025.
Yeah, I figured so at that point. Mateer would be a great pickup, though. Obviously, at this point, it'd be great for them to just kind of let that thing go. And Shannon Dawson's offense, another air raid guy to come in here right away, a proven guy too, which would be the key for this Hurricane team. Okay, so they got to throw the ball to people also. Restrepo is going to be
Right.
gone. George is going to be gone. Was it Isaiah Horton that just put his papers in? He's in the portal now. All right. So listen, I know there's a lot of young kids that we've been talking about. Me and you talked about them at Media Day. We saw them, the whole deal. What's going to be the issue there? And B, on that question, I see that you just tweeted out about an hour or so ago about Fields and Virginia. There's a couple other guys. What's kind of the basis there, wide receiver in your eyes?
Yeah, Miami knows that they need to go find some veteran production, right? Like, I think that there's plenty of confidence in those young guys. You know, JoJo Traitor and Nye Carr will both be, I believe, redshirt freshmen. I'm pretty sure both those guys maintain their redshirt year, if I'm not mistaken. You know, so both those guys will have multiple years of eligibility, and the Hurricanes are eager to get those guys on the field as well. But, you know, you got to kind of piece together the puzzle, right? You know, you got to formulate this thing the right way, and you need some veteran, older guys in the room, too, to kind of lead the way, guys that have done it right. So Miami has been really active with bringing in wide receivers. You know, they brought in FIU's Eric Rivers as a potential Xavier Restrepo replacement. So, you know, he's definitely a name that they're tracking. You know, he's got a couple other visits lined up. But, you know, he broke FIU's receiving record, you know, this past season. If they get over 1,100 yards, he was a third-team AP All-American. So he's definitely an interesting candidate. They got CJ Daniels out of LSU. He visited over the past couple days. Miami really likes him. I think that that's a situation that's potentially trending Miami's way. They're battling Ole Miss and Auburn. He's a big 6'2", 200-plus-pound wide receiver who, you know, really broke out at Liberty, you know, during that undefeated season where they ran into Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl. But he caught for over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns on that team, transferred to LSU this past season. It didn't go quite as well for him at LSU. You know, the production wasn't there, but he's still a really, really talented player that I think could help Miami, you know, fill some of that void of just veteran leadership and production into that room. Miami's also working on Eric Singleton, who's number one rated non-quarterback in the transfer portal, number two overall player behind Mateer. You know, it sounds like maybe SEC schools, Auburn and Ole Miss, are a couple that I think have momentum there, but Miami's certainly trying. They're going to get in a couple other guys too. You know, Oklahoma State's Dazon Stribling is a name that Miami's been working on. He is a former Washington State transfer who was very productive at Oklahoma State. I think he had like way over 800 yards on the season. He's looking for a new home too. I think Ole Miss is involved there, so the Hurricanes will get him on campus. And then Casey Concepcion, the NC State wide receiver slot. You know, he's more of a slot guy that would be in that Restrepo role. So they've done a good job of getting guys on campus and kind of generate some momentum with some of these pass catchers. Again, they need to kind of just add some more to the room. They're, realistically, they lost their top five pass catchers. You know, if Isaiah Horton does leave the portal, does leave via the portal, which it sounds like that's maybe the most likely situation, you know, it'll be Xavier Restrepo, Jacoby George, Isaiah Horton, Elijah Arroyo at tight end, and then, you know, potentially Sam Brown. His future still kind of up in the air too, but I would lean towards him potentially, you know, leaving or going to the NFL as well. So that's a lot that you got to kind of figure out. So I think going into the portal and, you know, finding ways to attract wide receivers, I think, is pretty important for the staff in this winter window.
All right, so wide receiver, tight end, quarterback kind of taken care of, checked off the list here with you. Offensive line, running backs, those two positions. Are those positions of mass need in this portal? You know, obviously you want to collect as much talent as possible, even if you have a couple of good starters. But where do you think those two position-wise, portal, if there is anything in the portal or not at this point, in your eyes, what do you think the future lies there?
Yeah, I don't really anticipate anything at running back, you know, this winter. I think that's something maybe they could reevaluate in the spring after maybe some spring football. They love what they have coming back in the room with Mark Fletcher, Jordan Lyle. This true freshman, Gerard Pringle, is someone they're super excited about. You know, Chris Wheatley Humphrey is someone that, you know, they're optimistic about as well. He was a true freshman last year, so he redshirts those 4 years. And then along the offensive line, you should have, you know, four starters, essentially. Markel Bell played starter snaps. You know, Matthew McCoy played starter snaps. He kind of rotated in with Jalen Rivers. And then you got Inez Cooper and Francis Mauinoa, right? So I think on the offensive line, I think what we're looking is a potential veteran center to kind of pair along with that veteran offensive line. I mean, all those guys are going to be, I think all of those guys are going to be potential, you know, NFL draft picks, right? So throwing a center into the middle of that mix, I think would be wise. They also have a star true freshman, SJ Alifatuli, who's the number one center prospect in the country this last cycle. So, you know, that's always a potential answer as well. So we're still kind of trying to figure out what they're doing there. I think, you know, Oklahoma's Joshua Bates is potentially a name to kind of look at there. He's the guy that hasn't really played a ton, but he's got 3 years of eligibility. And again, he signed with OU. It's been there over the past 2 years. So he's potentially one to watch, but that's still an ongoing situation. And I think they're probably looking for some depth as well. Like, you know, maybe some younger depth guys that they can kind of just continue to bring in and stash and develop.
Yeah, it's incredible what can end up happening in this portal and how much you have to cover this portal. Like it's almost, it's as big or bigger at this point than actual recruiting day. And recruiting day used to be the biggest thing in the world. Like I remember how big recruiting day, when it was just one day, by the way, and it was just like right before, like that, it was like that week before the Super Bowl for years. It was sitting there. I remember being, and I told you the story before, I remember covering Super Bowls, doing Radio Row from New Orleans or Indianapolis and stuff like that. And this is when Michael Irvin was on QAM. And like Mike would be behind me checking his, you know, phone or whatever every 5 minutes because it was recruiting day, even though we're in the middle of the Super Bowl. Now it's just like, oh my God, Gabby never gets to sleep at this point. I don't care if he's got two kids and a wife. It doesn't matter. You get no sleep. That's it.
That's right. I mean, it's nuts. Truthfully, it's like everyone's a free agent, right? Like, you know, in the NFL, you kind of get into an offseason and it's like, you know, Schefter and all these guys, and you know, they have an idea, like these are the guys whose contracts are expiring. We know what the free agent pool is going to look like. Here, it's just like, imagine just in the NFL, if everyone at the end of the season could just be like, hey, I just want to move around. Like, you know, just free for all. It's nuts. It's madness. And it definitely keeps you up. It keeps you checking your phone at all hours of the night and of the early morning, and unsafely while you're in your car. And, you know, just like there's no time to breathe because, you know, things can progress quickly. Things get canceled quickly. New situations emerge. And, you know, it's constant, man. Like, truly, like, this is, I love, like, this is, it's really, it's fun. Yeah. But at the same time, it's just, there's a lot going on at the same time.
Gabby, it's time consuming for you. Yeah. And we discussed it for about 10 seconds before we went on the air. Coaches and recruiting coordinators and got player personnel people and you know, whatever the new positions are that they make on these teams, including a guy who's now in North Carolina who's got to deal with all this too, and Bill Belichick and his and Michael Lombardi, who I would call to on a Monday to come out and break down the Dolphins game. Now they're in the business also. So that's an interesting one there too. Quickly, what's your take on that? Bill Belichick taking over in North Carolina, and he's bringing a team. His son's coming. Michael Lombardi's coming. This is not done yet, but what was your quick first thought, initial take on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting, right? Like, I think that there's just I think that there's definitely an advantage as far as just like college is kind of developing into an NFL model. Like there's people that are advocating now for like, there just needs to be personnel departments. And, you know, these visits need to be treated like free agent visits. Like just come, get them into the building, talk, you know, numbers and whatever it is and figure out where you're at. You know, like, the college recruiting is a lot like official visits, right? Let's go to dinner and let's stay at a nice resort and let's do the this and the that and the glitz and the glam. And it's like, this is a pretty bottom line. It's become a very bottom line. You know, you can do all of that stuff, and at the end of the day, it's going to come down to that bottom line, right? The figures. Right. What can you do for me? So I think that there's an advantage in Bill Belichick, Michael Lombardi, these guys that kind of have that NFL mindset of just like, let's just like, you know, let's develop a personnel department. And I think that there's a lot of, you know, people I'm talking to also just like, you know, college coaches and people are just like, you know, we're doing all this visit stuff, but at the end of the day, like, you know, there needs to just be a personnel department that handles all this. And then, you know, there needs to, you know, maybe you meet with the head coach and figure it out. Like, you know, so see if it's a good fit. And it's, so I think that there was an advantage with Bill Belichick in that way, where it's just going to be probably a pretty black and white process of just like, hey, do you want to be like, was a good fit for you? This is what we can offer you. Are you in? Are you out? Like, and I think that, you know, kind of taking that like, you know, finding those value spots where it's like, hey, you know, we probably can't pay top dollar for this. What's the profile of a guy that we're looking like, if we're looking at? And you can also take that big picture kind of, you know, evaluation as far as just maybe dipping into the FCS ranks. I saw that they signed a center from Holy Cross. Like, those are the types of things that, like, I can see Bill Belichick and Michael Lombardi doing that is just going to benefit. But then I think there's a lot of intricacies of just navigating and managing a college roster. Like, these guys are not pros, right? Like, you know, everyone, like, you hear the Tom Brady stuff and it's like, or people that played the Patriots and it's like, that was not fun. Like, playing for Bill Belichick was not fun. Like, that is not an exciting, you know, thrilling, you know, environment. Like, there's going to be a lot of differences and things there. And these kids are younger and there's a lot more people that are involved in. So I'm curious, you know, I'm very curious to see how it's going to go. I think it's awesome. I think it's so cool that Bill Belichick, like, is going to be on a college sideline and navigating all of that. You know, I just think it shows that the sport's changing, right? It's changing.
Right.
And there's a different line of thinking that I think is just kind of, you know, trickling its way down to the college level. And look, I think that this is going to be an experiment in a lot of ways. Like, does this NFL model, is it going to work in college or is it not? I think we're going to find out pretty soon.
Yeah, oh no, 100%. I think that we'll find out very soon what the deal is, and especially after year one with Belichick, to see if five or six, 10 players want to leave because they just can't handle Belichick's system, or all of a sudden it turns into a factory where a lot of kids are going to want to go there because Belichick can get you ready for the pros and still get you paid in college. So it's going to, it'll be interesting. You're right. I think giving them 2 years to see what it's like to play for them, to work with them, to see what they do with the kids, recruiting and portal, to see really what that's going to do and what it might change some NFL guys that want to play, you know, that are NFL coaches that say, listen, I'm not getting a head coaching job in this cycle, but I could take over at Washington State or Arizona or one of these other schools, maybe a small school in the SEC is looking for a big name, you know, NFL guy. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Maybe not in this next year, but in this next 2 to 3 years with NFL guys making moves to college, not necessarily the college coach taking over, Nick Saban for going to the Dolphins or Chip Kelly going here. It's going to be the complete opposite. It'll be fun to see.
Maybe flame out or whatever that were like hot names. Like, you know, maybe they just to say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to go take over college and we could treat it the same way. And, you know, I don't know what the NFL salaries for head coaches look like, but there is plenty of money to be made as a head coach in college. So, you know, I think the salary is competitive enough.
Oh, if we're talking about top dollar, like Nick Saban money and guys like that, Urban Meyer money, when they were making that money, let me tell you, there'll be plenty of NFL coaches that say, I'll take $3 million more and I'll bring in 20 of my guys to run this personnel department and I'll just coach at that
point. That's right.
All right. Well, quickly, before I let you run, tell me about a couple defensive prospects portal wise, instead of going through position by position. I think offense was important to get to because quarterback is the biggest position and then he's got to throw the ball to guys. But we saw this season, especially towards the end, middle to end of the season, defense needed a lot of help. Defense needed to be, you know, taken to that next level, and they kind of weren't at times. Guys are going to be leaving. Obviously, they're going to be bringing in guys. What are the top guys you think portal-wise that have a chance to come to Green Tree?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest names that is on Miami's radar right now is Zechariah Poyser. He's the number two safety in the transfer portal. He played at Jacksonville State, was an all-conference selection. You know, my latest read on that situation is that it's Miami, LSU. We're kind of battling it out there, but Auburn, Florida, and Georgia are also in the mix there. Miami has a desperate need for a safety who can kind of clean up and make all the right decisions. And Poyser did a really good job on a good Jacksonville State team that, again, I think they've won multiple conference championships during the Rich Rod. He's off to West Virginia, so Poyser would be a huge win for the Hurricanes. We'll see where that one kind of goes. Miami got kind of in the door early with two of the top corners in the transfer portal, Ethan O'Connor out of Washington State. He picked off four passes. He broke up 12 passes as a redshirt freshman. You know, so he's got a bunch of schools that are on him, Georgia, Oklahoma, Miami, UCLA. I think Colorado's in there as well. So hopefully we'll know soon where he's headed, but I think the visit went really well with him as well. Emmanuel Carnley on the other side is a 6'3 corner out of Arizona, another redshirt freshman. So both those guys have multiple years of eligibility. That's looking like a Miami, Ole Miss, Michigan battle. Not sure where that one's going at the moment. I don't feel great about Miami's odds, but those are a few guys, especially in the secondary, to kind of track. And, you know, Miami will continue kind of working to try to, you know, filter guys in. They also kind of working on like a nose, I don't know about a nose tackle, but just like a big interior body type on the defensive line. Right. They brought in Keyshawn Silver, who's a former Kentucky defensive lineman, 6'4", 336 pounds. I don't think that one's going super well. He's got like Florida, Michigan, USC, and I think North Carolina is actually kind of emerging. He originally signed with North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He's from North Carolina, so he spent 2 years with the Tar Heels and then transferred over to Kentucky. I think he's giving North Carolina another look now with Bill. Speaking of Bill Belichick, I think that would be smart, you know, obviously to give him a chance to potentially sell you and maybe coming back home. So, Bill, you know, that's definitely one to maybe track, but I think David Blay is another big interior defensive lineman out of Louisiana Tech. You know, a bunch of schools are involved in that one, but I think Miami's one that has, you know, they're definitely working to kind of continue to get involved there. So there's a lot of names, a lot going on. That will change by the time that this airs, Zach, or 24, 48 hours. Just hang tight with it. But this is, I think that's kind of a good general sense of kind of where we're at with the transfer portal right now.
Yeah, it's incredible. It is incredible how this whole portal thing is working. And once it's open, the floodgates are open. When does this portal kind of this time close? When does this end at this point?
So it's a 15-day window that opened last Monday. So I guess we're on day 9.
Right.
So I guess and then for playoff teams, they have, I think, 5 days after their season ends. So there's some playoff games this weekend. So on the losers of those teams, like, you know, they will get 5 additional days, I believe. And then again, after the quarterfinal and after the semifinal and then the national championship games, is in late January. So
Right.
like most schools would have like are they're acting like their spring semester has already started. So like I don't even know how that would work. The college football, this system is very for if you're a backup on a competitor, like you're in a really tough spot because like let's
Right.
say you really are looking for to start somewhere this calendar, there's no perfect answer, right? Like this
Right,
is just the
right.
way it is. But you know, you saw situations where like Penn State's backup quarterback transferred. Like he didn't want to leave. Like he didn't want to go. He wanted to see this playoff run through. But at the same time, you have to figure out
Doesn't
where you want to
play.
go. Like you know, you're
Right.
kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. You know, while when you're playing on some of these contenders, but you know, you kind of have to leave. He had to leave. You know, Drew Allar is going to come back. Like, so yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, you know, there will be more time for really this transfer portal won't fully close. Until you know, we don't really. I don't think you can stop tracking it until school starts right
Right,
in the spring.
right.
So
It
we
is
got.
incredible.
I'm bracing for at least another month of you know potential transfers. You know, just we're between one situation or another, and that's when you only have to be in by that time, right? Within those 15 days, for you to decide, it's just a matter of whatever the enrollment date for your school of choice is.
Right.
So that's really the time. Like you got to keep. You got to kind of keep on going until that's done.
The job never stops for my man
Never
Gabby here.
stops.
Never stops at all. Holidays or not, it doesn't matter. All right, Gabby, this is probably the last time we'll talk before the New Year. So happy New Year to you. Happy
Happy New
holidays
Year,
to you and
man.
your
Yeah,
family.
sure.
Been a good year for you and the family. Two girls
For
now,
sure.
great wife. You're good dad. And let me tell you something. For you to just still be able to do all this and have two girls and a wife, congratulations, because
Thank you,
you have one life so far
man.
at this
Oh, I
point.
appreciate it. I
Well done
appreciate
for
it. Thank
that.
you
Your
so much, man.
championship belt's in the mail at this point, right? At this
I'll
point.
take it. I'll take
That's
it.
it. But literally, you're the best. Thanks as always for coming on Krantz's Corner. If
Yeah.
I don't speak to you before, like the New Year's and everything, happy
Yeah.
holidays, happy New Year's, the whole
For
deal.
sure.
And we'll check in at this point once you have a deep breath to take. I'd love to see the tweet that says you're going away for a couple of days, but I know that's not happening at this point. I know. I get it. I get it at that point. You
I
can't do it.
wish.
I know. I totally get it at this point. So be good. Happy New Year. We'll speak to you soon, my man.
All right, Zach. Thank you so much, man.
All right, one of the OGs, Gabby Rudy, joining us here from 247 Sports, going over everything in the recruiting channels, the transfer portals, you name it. We went over it here on Krantz's Corner.